I'm finding out is a healing station. It's a healing station. This is a spiritual hospital. Amen. And I'm just grateful for what God is doing. Just one thing I want to remind everyone. We really are planning to make our Easter service a real outreach. So we will be mailing out visitor cards to all the visitors that have come. And I want you to make a special effort to invite your friends and family. The chorale is practicing. We're putting in extra special effort. And let's make this a great outreach. Because Jesus died 2,000 years ago. That someone can be saved. That, like that young lady, that their sins can be remitted. And let's make a special effort. There's some people who will only come to church once a year. So you reach out to everyone you know. Make sure you invite them. Tell them we're going to be having something special, which we are. But more than that, we want the presence of the Lord. We want this to be an outreach where souls are touched, lives are changed, people are healed, because we can't do it of ourselves. But if we pray the presence of the Lord, if we reach out in faith, He can do it. Amen? So starting from now, you get your friends, make them commit, get them to commit to come. Tell them what date it is. Look in your bulletin. Start talking to them and say, you coming to church with me? You've been promising me all year. This is the day to come. Easter service. Amen? So you start from now, and let's pack this church out with people who are hungry to find something that can change their lives, that can touch their souls, that can put them on a new direction. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's do that. We are called to be witnesses, not just to come to church, not just to worship, but to be witnesses, the whole apostles' doctrine. Amen. Are you ready to hear some word today? I'm excited to see what the Lord has got in store. You know, when my wife cooks, she never enjoys eating it as much as if I do it. Amen. And so sometimes when I preach, I don't enjoy it as much as when someone else is preaching. So I'm looking forward to being fed today. And I hope you can stand right now to receive the word, Brother Chris.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. God is just so good. He is so, so amazing. It just continues to blow my mind. I don't have the words to really even describe just how awesome God is. And I have to just thank God for bringing my wife and son back home. I guess she's nursing him right now, but had a whole week to myself, which was a blessing and a curse in its own way. Something I think is very funny, I'm not sure if I've told the church, I know I've told certain individuals this, but when she was away once, not this time, but the last time she was away for a little bit, I tried to cook for myself. And I can't cook, I'd mess up microwaving up something, you know. So I attempted to cook tacos, and I browned the meat, and I put the seasoning on it, and I got the cheese, and I got the sour cream. I got it all together, put it together, and I ate it, and I started eating it, and I was like, this tastes funny. I don't know what it is. Something doesn't taste right. So this kind of tastes like yogurt. I don't know. It's like maybe the sour cream went bad or something. So I kept eating it. It's like, man, this just tastes funny, but I was really hungry, so I ate it anyway. I told her, like, when did you buy that sour cream? She's like, yeah, it's brand new. I was like, some reason it tastes like yogurt. And then she just started laughing at me. She's like, the yogurt is right next to the sour cream. I had yogurt-flavored tacos. Nasty. So when the scripture says, he that findeth the wife findeth a good thing, I was quite happy when I found her and her cooking, because I... yogurt-flavored tacos, don't try it. Not good. But so I'm very glad that she is back and my son is back. And just very, very happy to have them. Although last night my son decided to do some sort of sleep gymnastics because he wouldn't sleep in his crib, and so we had him sleep with us in the bed. And for some reason, he's the only person I've ever seen to sleep L-shaped. Like, it's not straight. It's not, like, fetal position. Like, his body's going this way, and his legs are going at a right angle this way. And in the night, he was in the bed, and he just kept kicking me in the side. And I'd move him, and he'd just move right back and just, like, start kicking me again. Just, you know. Anyway, I'm just venting. Let's go to John chapter 9. That's just my week. John chapter 9. We'll be looking at verses 1. 1 through 6. No, I'm sorry, 1 through 7. John chapter 9, 1 through 7. Amen. I'm so glad that she's back. It's That's all I can say. Glad that she's back. Amen. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. I'm sure this is a story you've all heard before. It's one that's been on my mind all week, and one I'm going to try, by the help of the Holy Ghost, to deliver unto you. It was very difficult studying this text because there's so many different aspects to it. Really, I could preach almost like 2 or 3 sermons out of it, and maybe the next ones that I preach will be still out of the same text, looking at it from a different perspective. But this text has really been on my heart, and I want to share it with you today. John chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing." I want to read verse number 7 again. I'll be taking my text primarily from there. "And said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing." I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, Return to Sender. Return to Sender. Let us pray today. Lord Jesus, we love you. We magnify. We thank you for what you are already doing in this house. And I pray, God, that you would give me the inspiration, give me the means by which to transmit this word, God, unto these people. And God, I pray against any distractions or anything that would try to disrupt or obstruct or hinder, God, your word from having free course in this place. Let the Spirit of the Lord, I pray, make liberty amongst us today. I pray, Lord God, let people be set free. May people even come and be born into the kingdom of God. We even speak it now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for your word. We give you glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Return to sender. Is something that is often stamped on letters or packages that have not met the criteria for delivery. And I want to kind of use that as an example in talking about this blind man who was blind from birth. And his whole life, he'd grown up never seeing anything. He had no point of reference to look to or to think of whenever you're describing an object. He'd been blind from birth. And I want to talk about returning to sender. And returning to sender means that what you sent was not delivered right. Something was not right for it to be delivered. And just this is a little side note, but something about delivery. And I see those commercials on TV about DiGiorno pizza. You know, they say it's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. More like it's not delivery, it's disgusting. I hate DiGiorno. This is just my personal opinion. Not a big fan of DiGiorno. I tried it once, just it didn't taste very good. It wasn't delivery, it was DiGiorno. And a lot of people, they come to church, and it's not deliverance that they get, it's something else. Because something was not right when something was being sent out or transmitted for them to receive the real deliverance. And we're going to talk about that today. The phrase return to sender means whenever mail is sent to a destination and there is something wrong and it is returned back to its point of origin, being the sender. And there are several reasons as to why mail is returned back to the sender. Number one is that, you know, the mail may not have postage or the package may not have proper postage on it. Two would be an incomplete or ineligible address or incorrect address. Thirdly, the addressee or is not at the address, they're not there. Fourthly, the mail was never claimed, that maybe they were there, they just didn't want it. Or fifthly, that they were there, they met the postman or a person that was delivering the mail and refused to accept it. They refused to take the delivery. And did you know, biblically speaking, that these things, they actually are, they correlate with a lot of people in the body of Christ because God is sending a message out to you. He is sending a message, he's sending a package, a delivery, so to speak, that he wants all of us to receive, but there's something wrong that may occur that prevents us from receiving that delivery. That, let's talk about number one, that no postage, all right? Now, the thing is, now, God has done everything he can to make sure that this message, that this package that he has for you is delivered to you. And no postage is not the reason. The Bible says in Acts 20, verse 28, Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That the reason why that we have to have postage on a package or on mail is that so that the delivery system has a means to sustain itself financially. That it's the authentication, the validation to show that this package is proper and that it can be delivered unto the recipient. And in the same sense, the gospel of Jesus Christ was purchased. And Jesus Christ put his own postage, put his own seal of approval on this message so that you could receive it today. That the reason that why we may not receive the message or receive the package, the delivery, or the deliverance that God has for us is not because there is not proper postage, that Jesus Christ paid with his blood on the cross to seal it with his spirit so that we could receive what we need from him today. The gospel message was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, in whom he also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That this message was sealed with the approval of the Holy Spirit. That during the political season, whenever we see some of these political ads, when people are running for a particular political office, such as senator or president or whatever, that they'll have their message come out and they'll say, you know, I represent this and I'm for you and whatever, and low taxes and blah, 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 blah. And then at the end of it, they'll say, and my name is such and such, and I approve this message. I want you to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been hand-approved. It has been personally approved by God Almighty himself. The gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, that can transform your life, that can cause you to become a new person, even as we were singing today, that he makes all things new. All things have become new. All things have passed away. All things have become new. God has a message that he wants you to receive today. And I tell you the reason why that you're not getting it isn't because of postage, because God has sealed it. He has purchased the right postage to send this message to you by his own blood and sealed it with his spirit. The second reason is an incorrect address. And that really doesn't apply, because this message is for everybody. This delivery, this package that God has for you, it is for everybody. Wherever it shows up, that's the right place for it to be. The Bible says in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That the gospel message is for everybody. It's for the female, it's for the male. It's for the black, it's for the white. It's for whatever nationality or ethnicity or culture that you come from, neighborhood or borough that you come from, borough that you come from. The gospel is applicable to everybody, and it must be delivered. It must be transmitted to every creature. This is a message that God wants you to have today, and you need to be ready to receive it. Thirdly, is they're not at their, the mail is unclaimed, or they're not at the address. I want you to understand here today that you're not here by circumstance or by some cosmic accident, but you're here by divine providence, that God has positioned you to be here to hear a word that would change your life, that would cause you to have relationship and intimacy with him. It's no mistake that you're here. God has a message that is a package that he wants you to pick up, and it's filled with love, and it's filled with mercy, and it's filled with grace, and it's filled with forgiveness. It's filled with peace that passes all understanding. It's filled with all that you need, for in him is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's enough. It's more than enough. For his grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. This package is being sent to you today. I just so happen to be the messenger. But will you sign to receive it? The Bible says in Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. God is standing here waiting for you to sign to receive the package that he has for you. The question is, will you receive it? Will you put your signature of approval to receive this message, to receive this letter, to receive this package that God has for you? Fifthly, that again, the mail is refused by the addressee at the time of delivery. The Bible says in Matthew 10:11, and into whosoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it, bless it, send this word, deploy this word. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. And if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you, returning back unto the sender. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of the house of the city, shake off the dust of your feet. When someone delivers a package, they usually will leave a note saying, hey, we were here. Or they'll send you an email or something saying that, you know, we tried to deliver this to you, You weren't there. We'll have some evidence to say we did our best to get this to you. When you stand before God on Judgment Day, there will be no excuse. There will be no reason, no explanation that will excuse you from not having received the message of Jesus Christ. God said, I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to deliver this to you, but you need to be in a position to receive it. You need to sign it. So now, since God has done everything that he can to get this message, to deliver this package to us, but yet the message is still returned back to the sender, why is that? Believe it or not, that God does want to return on the package that he sends to us. Look at this in Isaiah 55, verse 10. I want you to see this. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 10, where it says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The Bible says that when God deploys his word, his message, that it does return unto him, but it does not return unto him void. That when God said, let there be, there was. When God said, let there be light, there was light. And when God preaches his word and he sends his word out, God is looking for return back unto the sender, but it's not coming back void and say, well, they weren't there or whatever. There is a mission that it's been sent out to accomplish, and it's going to prosper in the thing that it's sent out to do. The Bible says in verse 10 here, back in verse 10, is that it may give seed to the sower. And that's why it's so important for you to speak God's word. When you're in a circumstance and you're in a situation, God wants to equip you and give you his word to sow. And he'll fill your mouth with the words to speak, even in the midst of calamity, even in the midst of atrocity. God can fill your word, fill your mouth with the word, a seed to sow out there. And the Bible said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's why the Bible says to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in your mouth. Because he that humbles himself before God, God is going to exalt you. And if you praise and exalt God, even in the midst of the storm, God is going to lift you up as you deploy and you sow the seed. His word is going to accomplish that which he sent out to do. He says also that it may provide bread to the eater. So not only is it providing seed, words for you to speak, it's also providing a return. You're reaping what you're sowing, bread to feed you, a blessing to sustain you, forgiveness for your sin, deliverance from your depression, your anxiety, your suicidal thoughts, your addictions. It provides everything that you need. God's word will not return void. And the thing is, it will. God is looking for a return. When God deploys his word, when he invests in something, that's what, look at it like that, like someone investing in a stock, that when they pour into it, they're looking for a return back to the sender to show that that investment was worthwhile. Do you understand that God is investing in you? That God has invested his blood, he has invested his love, he's invested his everything into you, and he is looking for a return. He's looking for a return on that investment. He's looking to see that when his word goes out, he's looking for your broken body to be healed. He's looking for you to be delivered out of that issue, that sickness, whatever that you're fighting with. He's looking for a return. He wants a return back to the sender to say that it is so. Let there be, and it was so. God wants a return back to the sender. God's message is returned back to the sender, but it doesn't come back empty-handed. It will accomplish that which was sent out to do. And here's another thing that we get discouraged when we try and witness to people and we try to minister the gospel to them and they don't necessarily respond the way that we want. Did you know that even in that, God's mission has been accomplished even when they don't receive the word? Matthew 10, verse 34, Jesus says, think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now he says, I didn't come to send peace, I came to send a sword. You know, the Bible is called the sword of the Spirit. And that the thing is, when the sword of the Spirit goes out, it is going to cause division. I know that sounds contrary because we're always talking about unity in the faith. Jesus said, I've come to set division between a mother and a father. I've come to set division between a son and a mother. I've come to set division in the family. Why? Because I want to find out who believes this word and who doesn't. You either, that's either camp that you stand in. Either you believe or you don't believe. And when his word goes out, if you don't receive it, now I know who doesn't believe. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen means so be it. Means I want it to be fulfilled in my life. So when we hear the word of God and you don't receive it, God's word is still accomplishing its objective because he wants to see who amongst the earth is full of faith, who believes my word, who has believed the report of the Lord. Will we say that we shall believe the report of the Lord? I hope so. So even during that time, because you'll find that out. As you're trying to stand in faith and try to do the word of God, somebody's always hating on you. Somebody's always trying to pull you down. The word of God will show you who's in your camp and who's not in your camp. The word of God will accomplish what it is sent out to do, and it's going to return back to the center. Having now said that, let's go back to John chapter 9. Go back to John chapter 9, verse 1. John chapter 9, our scripture text says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, that is just a bizarre question. Because I can almost go with him asking, you know, did his parents sin to cause him to be born blind? He said, did this man sin to cause himself to be born blind? How could you sin before you're born? He said, this man sinned to cause him to be born blind. The sin would have had to happen before the birth in order for him to be born that way. Anyway, that's just a little side note. I just thought that was very interesting. Look what Jesus says. Verse 3. Jesus answered, neither have this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Number one, I want to point out here that you may be in a situation, and it's not because of something that you did. It's not something, some evil, some sin that you did. That you're a victim to a certain degree of the practice of the world that we're living in. And that it's not necessarily your parents that did it either. And not it wasn't because of the parents' sin or even this other person's sin. This person was in a situation that was beyond his control. And I want you to understand, I don't want you to blame yourself for something that you cannot control. On the other hand, though, I know someone that can control it. And the thing is that you need to give your dominion, submit yourself fully over to God, and allow him to take control, even as we were singing earlier, that I belong to you. That God, I cannot change myself. That's why I need you to change me. I've used this analogy before, but we're just like babies. And I understand this because my son, he's 10 months old. If you walked into your room, into your baby's room, baby's like same age as my son, and you saw the baby getting up and taking its diaper off and changing itself, you'd be like, I don't know about this. That's kind of strange. One, you might be happy at first, but then you're like, that's kind of, you know, something funny is going on here. The baby needs you to change it because it is incapable of changing itself. And in the same sense that we, as believers in Christ or even as sinners, we cannot change ourselves. We need our Father to change us. And that's why we cry, because we want to be changed. And he's going to change you if you do cry out unto him in faith. So the thing is, this man was in this predicament not because of some mistake that he made, not because of some sin even his parents made, but he was in this place because there's a devil out there that wants to rob, steal, and kill and destroy. Now, when people look at this text, they say, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. This is what Jesus said. People say that, see, God wanted him to be sick. God made him that way so that he could be glorified in the situation. I think you're misunderstanding. It's like going to a basketball court. You're on the basketball court and someone comes on the court to play you and says, oh, you came to get cross today, didn't you? Or someone's coming in a boxing match and says, oh, you came to get beat, didn't you? It's not that he's saying that I made you this way. God looked at every problem as an opportunity, because that's what a problem is, just a miracle in an early stage of development. So he looked at it, oh, this is for the glory of God. This guy is sick. I can change the worst situation and I can use it for my glory. Not that God wanted him sick. Not God, that God made him sick, but that he said, I can use any circumstance. I'm so bad, I'm so hardcore, I'm so good at what I do, that I can take the worst situation and make it good. Oh, you came to lose today, didn't you? Oh, you came to get dunked on today, didn't you? In John 11, verse 3, when Jesus is referring to the problem of Lazarus, he says this, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, did Lazarus die? Yes, but it did not end in his sickness. It ended in God's glory. And in the same circumstance with this blind man, God was not making this man sick. It's never God's will for anyone to be sick, to be blind, to be in any type of infirm state of mind whatsoever. God wants you well. The proof of that is that Jesus healed them. God is not watching that circumstance. However, he can use any circumstance because he's so good at what he does and use it for good. That the devil meant for evil. He meant to kill Jesus on the cross, but the Bible says that the prince of this world had known that they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That God can do some sort of jujitsu or judo move and flip the script and shift things around so that it doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And the reason why is that God says, here's something I can invest in. You want to invest in that? This man's been born blind. He was a beggar. He can't even provide for himself. You want to invest in that? God says, yes, I want to invest in that because I can get some glory out of this. And God is looking at your broken life, looking at your misery, looking at your depression and thinking, I can get some glory out of this. All you see is that there's no way, there's no possible way that my life could be successful. There's no possible way I can get deliverance and get victory in this area of my life. God is saying, all I see is glory. All I see is the miraculous. All I see is hope. All I see is victory. All I see is victory. You need to open your eyes and start looking through the eyes of faith. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. This is such a profound statement. Jesus said two things. He said that I must work the works of him that sent me. There is the work of God, which is singular, and then there is the works of God, which is plural. Turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 28. I want you to see this. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. Jesus defines what the works of God are. In John 6, 28, the people that Jesus fed the 5,000 to were asking this question. John 6, 28 says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to him, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. If you want to work the works referring to the miraculous, the work is to believe on Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, for we which have believed have entered into rest. The last work you did is when you believed God. Because then God went on autopilot and took control of your life. And all the works that are done that are good, all that's lovely and pure, is done by Jesus Christ. For the Bible says that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing that happens in my life had nothing to do with me. It was God working in me so that his will could be accomplished. It was God working the situation out. God blessing me. God forgiving me. God transforming me. I had nothing to do with this. It was God doing. You want to work the works of God? Believe on Jesus Christ. You need to believe on him who he has sent. God sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, the living word, the word made flesh incarnate, that if you would believe on he who has sent him, you would find victory, you would find deliverance, so that when Christ returns, that he is going to find more victory inside of you. He wants a return inside of his investment. John chapter 9, verse 6. Now, what I find to be very interesting in this story is that the blind man seems to be a third party. They're just talking about, they're standing right there. So how's this guy blind? You know, you think his dad did something kind of shady? You think he did some shady? No, man, I don't know about this. These are, no, he didn't. No, neither one of them did, but it's for the glory of God. The guy's just sitting there. Him being blind, you know, they say that if you lose a sense, that the other senses get better to compensate. I'm sure he had very good hearing. So he could hear this whole conversation. It's like, I'm right here. Hello? He can hear this whole conversation. What I think is very interesting is Jesus didn't even ask the man if you want to be healed. He didn't ask. He just, he's sitting there, said, okay, this is for the glory of God. It's like, okay, maybe this guy's going to help me out. And all of a sudden you hear, uh-oh. You know, God delivers us in funny ways. Ways that we never think of. Ways that we don't want to accept. Oh, I don't want to do that. He's sitting there, hearing about him might getting healed, and all of a sudden hears someone hawking up a loogie. So when he had thus spoken, he spat in the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Didn't ask him, do you want to be healed? He just gave him a command and said unto him, go. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation the pool of the scent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. So much stuff that's here. One thing I want to point out to you, Jesus Christ was sent to that blind man. And the one that was sent, sent him to the pool of the sent. To kind of even prove this, did you know that Jesus Christ is called an apostle? In Hebrews 3:1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. He is called the chief apostle because the word apostle in the Greek apostolos means the sent one. So he said, I'm here to send you to a place because I've got a package for you to pick up. And when you get there, you're going to receive the deliverance that you're looking for. And here's how he does it. Point number one, he spat in the ground. And he made clay out of the dust. And he anointed his eyes with the clay. One thing I found out in Scripture, if you do research on this, every time that clay is mentioned, it is always referring to the body. It's always referring to the flesh. Job chapter 4, verse 18. Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. Job 13:12 says, your remembrance are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. The reason why clay, because clay is a mixture of two things, of dust and some other substance, a liquid. In the same sense that our bodies are a mixture of flesh and spirit. Now the thing is, Jesus took this mixture that was mainly clay, that was just flesh, it's the body, and he put it on his eyes. And then he sent him to the pool of the scent. And told him to wash his eyes. This was symbolizing the washing away of your flesh from your sinful eyes. The water is the word of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. He said, I want you to go down to where my word is, wash yourself in it, and then you will see what you could not see before. I once was lost, and now I'm found. I once was blind, and now I see. Jesus sent him to the pool of Siloam, being the pool of the sent, because he wanted him to pick up a package, in this case being his word. And when that blind man picked up that word, he could see clearly now that the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Oh, I see haters over here. There's a hater over there. I didn't see before that they were actually against me and not working for my good. But now that I'm in Christ, I can see the devil was standing next to me the whole time. He sent him to go pick up a package. Look at this in Psalm 107, verse 20. I want you to see this. I'm trying to hurry. Psalm 107, verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. It says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Jesus sent this man to where the word was going to be. And then where the word was, he washed himself in the word, and then he saw clearly. He was healed. And the Bible said that he came back seeing. And people's like, isn't that the dude that was begging on the corner that couldn't see? And it baffled everybody. And the Pharisees were coming to this man. If you read this story in John chapter 9, they were coming to this man and saying that this guy who apparently healed you, he's a sinner. And said, I've never heard in my whole life a sinner curing a blind man. He said, this man's a sinner. He's a false prophet. He's like, whether he's a false prophet or not, all I know is I couldn't see before. Now I can see now. You see, when you do God's word, it shuts everybody up. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Whoop, there it is. Right there. God's word is true, and I got the proof for it right there. Because God is going to get a return on what he sent out to do. God's word is going to prosper in what he sent. And if you'd wash your eyes in the word of God and see clearly, because all you see are giants when really they're grasshoppers in God's sight. You see problems when really there are opportunities for God to show himself strong. God wants a return on his investment. He's saying to you, I want to get some glory out of you. I saved you, I redeemed you, forgave you, transformed you, renewed you, restored you, rejuvenated you so that you could not occupy a pew, but because that you would go out and you would deploy my word and set the captive free, that you alone would send your word out and get a return on your investment. You need to start speaking to your mountains. You need to start speaking to your problems. Quit talking to God about your problem and start talking to your problem about your God. And start saying, I'm getting a return out of this. I'm getting some glory out of this. Does not matter what I go through. I'm going to come out the victor. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm going to win this thing because God gave me his word. In the middle of the storm, as the lightning was flashing and the wind was blowing up, and Jesus comes walking on the water, and Peter being confused and being confused about the whole situation, he sees Jesus walking out. He wanted to test to see if it was Jesus. And he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. And Jesus just said one word. He just said, come. And on that one word, had Peter stepped out on the water and began to defy the very laws of nature. You only need one word from God. God can change your life. One word from God can heal your broken body. One word from God can heal your marriage. One word from God can forgive your sin. But you've got to take a step out and step on that word. God is saying, come, come, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Let me wash you. Let me cleanse you. Let me transform your life. God is wanting a return on his investment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God sent me to this earth to preach the good news unto the captive. God sent me to this world to provide dominion over the works of the enemy. I'm going to conquer everything that the devil has set up in my life. For I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. If you say, well, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You've got the word. You just need to start speaking. You know, one of the things that Jesus fought with the most were people that were demon-possessed who had a dumb spirit. Dumb spirits. A dumb spirit is someone who can't talk. And some of us have dumb spirits that as calamities arise, that we suddenly go silent and we don't want to speak to God. We don't want to raise our hands even when we fall and we commit sin, our mouths go silent. But the word of God says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And they overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Need to start speaking. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Maybe the reason why your crop has been failing, or maybe because you've been getting weeds and thistles, because you've been sowing bad seed, you've been sowing carnality, you've been sowing the wisdom of this world instead of the wisdom of God. I didn't come to you with enticing words or man's wisdom, but to demonstrate to you the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. Let's start sowing God's word. God wants to return unto sender. And one great getting up morning, I'm going to return unto my sender because the trump of God is going to sound and the voice of the archangel is going to sound. And one day I'm going to return back to the one that sent me down here to make a difference. And when you return back to your sender, will you return back unto him void? Will you return back unto him with your hands empty? Or will you return back unto him short and say, look, Lord, as in the parable of the talents, look, I've multiplied what you've given unto me. Praise God. This is the day. This is the day. This blind man, he went to the pool of the sent. He went to the place where the word was sent, and he washed, and his eyes saw. Book of Revelation, I believe, even goes on to say that buy me gold that's tried in the fire, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. We need to start looking through the word of God, looking through the lens of God's word, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And when we do that, then we can return back unto the sender. A prosperous return on his investment. God's investing on you. God has put his name on you. You have been branded by him. God's got a reputation to keep. And the thing is, we don't want to take the Lord's name in vain. A lot of people say that you're taking the Lord's name in vain when you use his name carelessly or haphazardly. No, you're really taking the Lord's name in vain when you live a life that's contrary to the name that you went down in the water into. You are baptized in his name, and then we live a life that's contrary to that name. Living a life of unbelief, living a life of unholiness and unrighteousness, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. But when you set yourself aside and give yourself over to God, then you won't live a life that is empty, that's vain, but you'll live a life that is prosperous and full of fruit. I got to quit. Let's stand. I got to quit. God's word wants to return back to the sender. And when it comes back, it's going to prosper whereunto it's sent. It's going to accomplish that which it was sent out to do. The question is, do you believe it? The package is at your doorstep. The package is at your doorstep. Are you going to finally sign and say, I receive this package? Lord, I finally receive the forgiveness of my sins. I withhold right now, let go all the condemnation, all the hurts of yesterday. I receive this package. I receive this message. I receive the atonement that you've given to me. Will you finally return this back to the sender with a prosperous return on that investment? God's right, got some things riding on you. You may think that you're not very special. You may think that you're nobody. No, you're worth the blood of Jesus Christ. You're worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. You are quite special. And he wants to invest his spirit into you. And as he sows his word and his spirit unto you, the Bible said that we'll produce fruit. There's going to be love. You've been full of hate, but God's going to produce love in you. Been full of depression. God says, I want to produce joy in you. You've been full of evil. God says, I want to produce goodness in you. Temperance, long-suffering. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the result of the investment that God has in you. And I rebuke the cankerworm and the palmer worm that's been eating the crop. That's been trying to snuff out and choke out the fruit that God is trying to germinate inside of you and cultivate inside of you. God's saying that every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he throws in the fire. But those that do bear fruit, he purges it, which means he starts to trim it. And trimming doesn't feel good. You think this blind man wanted to go wash him, you know, have spit on his eyes? It's an uncomfortable feeling. I mean, imagine, close your eyes right now, and then picture yourself feeling like a warm liquid on your face after you just heard someone hawk up something. That's not good. It's uncomfortable. It's kind of, makes you kind of squirm, doesn't it? And the conviction of the Holy Spirit will make you squirm, make you feel uncomfortable because it's revealing some things that are in you that you didn't realize was there, because now God's trying to get you to see some things. Now's the time. God has applied the clay to your eyes. Now it's time for you to wash in the Word. Will you today come pick up the package? It's not DiGiorno. This time it is delivery. There's nothing like the real thing. Real deliverance right here. Real forgiveness right here. Real salvation. Real mercy. Real love. You know, Papa John says, better ingredients, better pizza. Better word, better salvation. I'm telling you, this is the day that the Lord has made. You will rejoice and be glad in it. And when you leave out of here, people say, well, isn't that so-and-so? How is he doing what he's doing now? Wasn't he a beggar just a few moments ago? What happened to you? Who did what? What did you try? Now, the blind man didn't know, but you know. Blind man said, I don't know who he is. All I know is I couldn't see before, and now I see now. But you know who's making you see today. His name is Jesus. You know whose sins, who's able to wash away your sins. It's Jesus Christ. Him alone. This is your day. I open these altars today. Open these altars today. If you want to see, physically or spiritually, God is here. He's got eye salve. He's got eye salve for you. He's got something to wash away the blindness. The devil has lied to you and said that you're a failure. The devil lied to you and said that you're hopeless. And all you see is death and destruction all around you. I come to give you an ulterior word. On the contrary, that you are God's child, that he loves, that he is forgiven, that he wants to transform. Right now, you can receive the package. Right now, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them out of their destruction. Jesus Christ is the ultimate mailman, because not only did he deliver a package to you, he then delivers you as the package out of whatever bondage that you were in. And he brings you unto salvation. This is your day today. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray with you today. I want you to close your eyes. And even the Spirit, I'm going to anoint your eyes. I'm going to cause you to see what God wants you to see. Whatever thing that you came down here for prayer, I want you to think and picture the opposite. The Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want you to see the opposite of the problem that you're facing. Instead of being broke, see yourself with money in your hands. Instead of seeing depression, see yourself smiling and laughing. Song says if you're happy and you know it, won't you? Your face will really show it. Picture that right now. No more tears. No more crying yourself to sleep. For the Bible says, he that sows in tears shall reap in joy. If you're sick in your body, I want you to picture yourself healed. And I'm going to send the word. I'm going to take you to the pool of the scent. And the word of God is going to wash your eyes. And you're going to start to see the victory that you need today. Right now. And as I do so, begin to praise God. Begin to worship him. Begin to lift him up. Begin to exalt him. One more thing I want to say. The Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 38 to 39, that he that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. I tell you today that the Holy Spirit will not be able to minister to you until you glorify him. Begin to glorify him. Make him bigger than your problem, because he is bigger than your problem. He said, is there anything too hard for me? Nothing is impossible. Right now, right now, the package is about to go out. Right here, right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I deploy the word of the sent. I deploy victory. I deploy deliverance. I deploy healing. I deploy forgiveness. I deploy transformation in the name.